Let's Go Fishing. Welcome aboard. You're tuned in to the Let's Go Fishing Show. Every week, your host, Mike Baxter and Alan Bushnell, here to keep you informed and up to date about fishing in the greater area along the coast, the mountains, lakes, reservoirs, bays, whatever we can fill you in, we will. So you're tuned in to the Let's Go Fishing Show here on KSCO 1080, KOMY 1340. Alan, how are you doing tonight?
Doing great, Mike, as usual. It's a highlight of my week to be here. Really looking forward to hearing some of the reports from the guides and other experts going to be calling in tonight. And hearing from anybody else that might want to call in, any of the local listeners. Have you been fishing? Where did you go? What did you get? What did you use? As we always say, Mike, it's not our show, meaning Mike and Al's show. It's our show, all the anglers in the area. What's that little saying you have, Mike, that none of us know more than any of us?
I don't remember. It's something like no one of us knows more than all of us. But I could tell you, I even stole that from someone else, Alan. But there's no sacred material out there. So give us a call and please share with the group where at, how'd you do it, what color, and how deep. The phone number is, Big Al?
Yeah, 479-1080 or 477-1340. Both of those are the 831 area code.
All right. A big thanks to everybody here at KSCO, as well as the sponsors, for letting us have a fishing show here. We're on our sixth season, and as usual, we hope to keep you informed, up to date, and even possibly entertained about fishing in the greater area, whether you're going out for a holiday weekend or not. Stay tuned. We've got a great usual lineup of callers here. Some of the regular faces, or voices, I should say. Kevin Milligers, hopefully from Eureka, is going to be calling in. I think they're spending some time shark fishing in the bay right there in Humboldt Bay. Maybe some halibut reports and salmon reports from that area also. Heading down the coast, we hope to get a local report from Todd Frazier right here at Bayside Marine. He tends to stay on the beat of what's happening. And Chuck Smith up the river there, River Run Guide Service, Feather River, find out if the striper bite is as hot as it is, as hot as it sounds, and if those spring run Chinooks are starting to head up that river. Also, we hope to fill you in on the trout fishing on the upper Sacramento River, the Feather River stripers, like I mentioned, and shad fishing. That's right, lower American River. Shad are starting to show up there. And one of our own local boys, Bill Rawson, I believe, is spending some time right now with some of the Santa Cruz contingency at a secret spot called Road 48 on the Sacramento. And I think the bite just turned on there, so we'll cover some of that. Eagle Lake opens Saturday. Right here in our backyard, Loch Lomond Reservoir. I think Alan's got the inside skinny on that. So it should be a great show. Also, we're going to highlight the Alaska fishing tournament in Sitka, Alaska, that Berkeley put on with Steve Carson. And Alan, you know what? It come to find out, a lot of the Santa Cruz guys went to that.
Oh, that is really cool. And are we going to hear from any of those guys tonight?
I hope so. I think we're going to hear from some of the locals that headed up to Sitka for the fishing tournament up there. And you know what? They made us proud. The neat thing is, wherever I've fished, I've fished a lot of different areas, but you might go up the coast and fish steelhead up in a stream in Northern California, and you see a group of guys that have it dialed in. They're hooking a few fish, and you find out, you know them, they're from here. Yeah. Really, there really is a lot of good fishermen in our area.
Yeah, I'm telling you. And I'm particularly interested in that Grand Slam tournament, because it's interesting. You have to catch a few different species all in one day. Lingcod, halibut, and salmon, isn't that it?
That's right. It might be a trout opener this weekend, but also middle of May kind of marks the start of the season for Alaska. I mean, it's the time of the year when you think about sourdough pancakes, reindeer sausages, and heading up to the cold waters of Alaska looking for a Pacific halibut or a big salmon. So we get to hear some of the early season reports already back from Sitka, Alaska. That's going to be great. And we hope to check in with Chad Woods from sportfishingreport.com and find out, what are the albacore doing?
I really want to hear about the albacore. I got my fingers crossed for a good albacore season this year, Mike.
I'm also curious about those white sea bass at the Channel Islands. So it should be a great show, Alan. We're looking forward to it. Don't touch the dial. Again, if you want to give us a call, please do. We'll fit you in, 479-1080. If you've been out fishing, share with the group. It's your obligation. Have some pride, be a sportsman. Stay tuned. We're going to be right back after the first break and check in with some of those callers.
After 25 years of excellent customer service in our community, Dave Dawson is now working as a realtor with Bailey Properties. Dave's success is a combination of his local knowledge and his ability to produce results and please his clients. If you or anyone you know is considering buying or selling any real estate, you need to call Dave Dawson at 901-2856. That's Dave Dawson at Bailey Property, 901-2856. You know, hiring a contractor to do your home improvement is like fishing. Sometimes, well, most of the time, you never know what you're going to get. When it comes to your roof, Warren Knox at Knox Roofing wants you know what you're going to get, and that's a roof worth keeping. Knox Roofing takes pride in their work, and that's why they're the most chosen roofing contractor in the area. Give Knox Roofing a call in Santa Cruz, 461-0634. In Monterey, 831-394-0110, or check them out at knoxroofing.com. Bayside Marine, a complete tackle store. Up-to-the-minute reports from local fishermen. The finest tackle from sport to commercial gear. CalStar, Shimano, Lamaglass, Penn, from long-range Mexico gear to the hottest salmon gear of the Northwest. Bayside Marine has it all. Call the hotline at 464-3474. Remember, we're on the web at BaysideMarineSC.com or call the shop at 475-2173. Stop by on your way to the boat ramp. Pick up your ice, food, beer, bait, and tackle. Then say hi to Todd and get the latest scoop. Remember, we're Bayside Marine. Give us a call at 475-2173. A part of our community, a part of culture, the Santa Cruz Harbor, with a brand new launch ramp, a great washdown and fish cleaning facilities. Sport fishermen call this protected port haven. The Santa Cruz Harbor is ideal for all boaters with berthing and end ties. Find rigging, tackle, charters, and great restaurants in the harbor. With full hookups, you can bring your RV and even take a scenic stroll around the harbor. The Santa Cruz Harbor welcomes you. You know how to put money into your IRA, but do you know how to take it out? Do you know the smartest way to withdraw money at 55 or even 45? And how will the new rules affect your required minimum distributions? To see how Smith Barney can help you navigate the complicated tax laws regarding IRAs, call Pete Middlecaw, financial consultant at 479-5100. That's 479-5100 for Pete Middlecaw. Citigroup Global Markets Incorporated, member SIPC. Smith Barney is a division of Citigroup Global Markets Incorporated and does not provide tax advice. Consult your tax advisor for guidance.
Let's go fishing. You're tuned into the Let's Go Fishing Show every Thursday from 7:06 to 8 p.m. That's right. So if you're heading out this weekend or even tomorrow for that matter, you're tuned into the right show. We always try to keep you informed. Tonight's topic, nothing specific. I guess the highlight's going to be checking in with the guys that went up to Alaska, Sitka, Alaska, and fished in the Berkeley tournament up there. That's going to be a nice one. But in general, we're just trying to get a lot of well-rounded reports from the greater area in case you're planning on heading out. But like I mentioned, if you have been fishing lately, especially at a local reservoir or lake, I always appreciate those reports. It's hard to find a continual connection on any of the Central California lakes. So if you've been out with friends or family fishing here locally in the freshwater, give us a call, 479-1080, 477-1340. In the meantime, talking about local waters, let's check in with Todd Frazier from Bayside Marine. I know he's also been fishing down south doing the white sea bass thing, and I think a few new salmon have showed up in the Monterey Bay, which is big news. Todd, how you doing tonight?
Very good, Mike. How you doing?
Good, good. I got to say, it was nice seeing you. I had been busy working a lot, and I swung by Bayside, and you know what, Alan? You catch a lot of fish right there in the parking lot of Bayside. You're supposed to get a soda, some chips, hang out, and I mean, I caught a lot of big boys, but it was good to see the gang, so say hi to everybody. It was real nice to see you. Back to business. How's fishing?
Well, it actually picked up a little bit yesterday, and we had the first little flurry of salmon about from the Soquel Hole all the way up to about on edge of Davenport, and a lot of guys did good, you know, the few that fished. It's really been slow down here in the harbor and haven't had many reports, so it's making it tough for actually finding the salmon, but the commercial guys have been still doing their deed and catching some fish, so at least they're getting some.
Yeah, there are a few. It sounded like the early rumors, like midweek or Monday, Tuesday, there was a lot of small fish showed up all of a sudden, a lot of 26-inchers, SoCal hole, even Pajaro hole, this side of Moss Landing, quite a few of them, and then right after that, a group of big fish showed up. Is that what you're seeing there as well?
Yeah, right now we've got the bigger fish up here, but I just spoke to a guy that fished down Moss Landing, and he had, I think, 6 or 7 on the wire fishing commercially on a small boat that were all about 20 to 26 inches, so that would have been sport legal.
Yeah, big enough for the barbecue.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to stoop there, but you know what? I'd take one of those. I'd be real happy with it. Are you hearing the same reports about a lot of bait around the area? There was such an abundance of bait fish, sardines, anchovies. Are you still hearing those reports?
Yeah, actually, I talked to a guy that fished today, and he saw a tremendous amount of bait. He said his meter while he was fishing went off for over 10 minutes, so he saw a good bait ball, and some of the commercial guys have been actually getting them on the spoons and reeling them up and seeing some nice sardines out there.
All right. And if you were going out this week and, of course, check in with Bayside, grab some ice, bait, tackle, some tips, but what would you do, Todd? Would you go out there for salmon for a few hours, then when the wind picks up, come in and try for a halibut? What would you recommend?
Yeah, that's definitely the plan right now. For the wind, it looks like it's going to be hitting here, so we definitely got to go out early and get the salmon while you can and then come in. And you could do some dress for sure for halibut. And they're just starting to fill in. I see a few nice ones coming up to 25 pounds. And there's been some solid scores down below near Moss and some around Pajaro. So there's definitely some halibut showing up. People got to start fishing here. I know a couple guys that are commercially fishing with the nets, and they're doing pretty good, up to 50 pounds.
It's one of those things, if you get out there and try it, you might be surprised, and all of a sudden the bite picks up. Now, I think last week we missed you on the show. Were you down south fishing white sea bass? Tell us about that.
Yeah, it actually went really well. We had full limits on the boat and crew limits, so sea bass up to about 25 pounds on the Mirage out of Port Hueneme. And in tremendous, tremendous rock cod fishing, almost like the old days, Mike.
It was, oh, yeah.
You know, big vermilions up to 9 pounds and every other kind that you could dream of for rock cod, from flagfish to staries to widows to every kind of cod.
So limits of white sea bass, that's great.
Were you and rock cod, too.
Were you using live squid, and how big were the sea bass?
The sea bass were all like 20 to about 28 pounds, and there was 4 flatties that came on the boat, too, down there, so the halibut are up to, actually took the jackpot, so there was some nice halibut. And the dead squid was working better than anything. You know, literally the box dead squid, I saw guys hook more fish on than live squid or even fresh dead.
Yeah, that's funny. In the meantime, thanks for keeping us updated for Santa Cruz. And how can we find out more information or stay in tune with the weather and recent reports?
You can always get me here at the shop at 831-475-2173 or reach me on the web at www.baysidemarinescsanta.com. And we also got the hotline at 464-3474 with the 831 area code. And one more shout, there was some good scores at Dorado down in Puerto Vallarta, because I'm always on top of that talking to my friends. And tuna is starting to show, just about 40, 60 pounders. So anyone looking to go to Puerto Vallarta, give me a call.
All right, and what about a sea bass trip? Are you doing another trip down there? Do you have information on that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Give me a call. The boat was great. The crew was great. It was reasonably priced, you know, galleys and everything. And for an overnighter for $110, couldn't go wrong.
That sounds like great fishing. All right, Todd, thank you very much. Have a good weekend down there at Bayside Marine.
All right, thanks, Mike.
And shall we keep going? We'll actually head back up the coast. What do you think, Alan?
I would like to hear about the salmon and the Pacific halibut, if it's possible.
Really? In Northern California? I know last year Eureka was starting to really make a name for itself for Pacific halibut. You never know, but there's one source to check in with. That's Mad River Outfitters, the guys from this area that are really set anchor up there, and they've become quite an established group and always keep us informed about fishing. How are you doing up there tonight?
Good. How are you guys doing, Alan, Mike?
Good. Is this Kevin?
This is.
All right, Kevin Milliger's from Mad River Outfitters. I think he's out fishing right now, and I didn't know if we were going to hear from you or Harrison, but you know what? The monitor says Kevin, so when all else fails, Mike, read the monitor. Kevin, how you doing, and how's fishing?
Oh, gosh. We're just out here having a good time. Caught a couple sharks. We're just off the bridge here in Samoa and Eureka, fishing in the Humboldt Bay, just killing some time.
All right. Any halibut showing up in there yet?
No, not yet. It was kind of a late season just with all the rain and, you know, cold off temps and whatnot. And the bay's just starting to heat up and the bait's just starting to, you know, kind of fill into the bay. So not many people have been trying. I haven't heard any reports yet. But the salmon side has been actually really good up here so far this year.
That's what it sounds like. We checked in with Harrison Ibach last week, and he talked about red-hot salmon fishing. Has it continued, and how's the weather been?
Well, you know, for the first part of the season, the weather was beautiful. Everybody seemed to be able to catch their fish, and we had, oh, about 4 or 5 days of kind of unstable weather, and not many people were going out. And we're back on the water today. We have some beautiful, kind of that typical green, steamy king salmon water the early part of the season, and it kind of disappeared, and the water was kind of clear today, I guess, from the reports that I heard. People are scratching around. They're catching a few fish and just kind of trying to relocate them again. So it sounded like people were getting some fish, but not the way that it was, you know, 4 or 5 days ago.
All right. Kevin, do many of the guys use downriggers there? Are they still using a lot of the surface trolling, the 2-pound ledge with the Les Davis Dodger? Or does anyone ever try to get down there deep when they're not catching fish up top?
You know, it seems like some people that are a little more ingenuitive, you know, and kind of seek after, you know, the old weary king salmon when, you know, the bite gets tough, you know, go a little bit deeper on the wire, and it seems like they produce. But no, typically, yeah, a lot of people use release weights. A lot of people use deep sixes. But I think over the last few years, people are, you know, up and coming and a little bit more tactful for the king salmon and pulling it together. So, yeah, downriggers are definitely being used a lot more readily up here.
Yeah, I think a lot of it, too, is just the fish are shallow there a lot. Here we're used to having to go deep where the water is warmer and the fish start stratifying deeper with the cooler water. But up there, a lot of times, if the fish are there, they're going to be on top. So it's not like you've got to go down deep a lot of times to find them.
Yeah, definitely. No, it seemed like last week and pretty much all through the season, most people are getting their fish between, you know, 15 and 60 feet down. And then every once in a while you hear of some guys that are out there that, you know, get them almost down in the mud, you know, down 150 to 180 feet. But, yeah, for the most part, yeah, up on top. And it makes it kind of fun. You know, it's easy for most people to go out. They don't have to put a lot of money into their gear and get downriggers and whatnot, and they can, you know, if the ocean's nice, they can go out in a small skiff and basically get them with a deep six.
Yeah, pretty fun. Hey, talking about dragging down deep near the mud, Al and I kind of started the intro off with the Pacific halibut. Now, you guys are really starting to make more of a name for yourself for a legitimate chance to catch a Pacific halibut right here in California. Is there a season to that, Kevin, and what do you expect?
Yeah, you know, last year, and really, I think the only thing that really, you know, kicked off the Pacific halibut thing up here was due to the fact that we had that, you know, long closure during the middle of the season for salmon, and a few guys went out and kind of pioneered it and caught some Pacific halibut. And, you know, the bug gets out and people hear about it, and then, you know, next thing you know, you got 10, 15 boats out there. And it seemed like everyone was, you know, successful that actually put some time in for it. And this year already, I know some guys got really quick limits. I mean, you know, quicker than most people got out of bed, you know, that got out early salmon fishing, were successful in catching Pacific halibut out of Eureka. I've heard of a few fish out of Eureka already, and I've heard of one fish out of Trinidad, which relatively, so far, there hasn't been that many people fishing for Pacifics because they've had the salmon bug. And, you know, it seems like it's something that's a pretty stable fishery up here. You know, I talked to a lot of the I guess more so nearshore draggers that aren't, you know, that are dragging for sand dabs, sole, different types of species that they've drug up, you know, immense amounts of Pacific halibut. So pretty much shows that there's quite a few of them in the area.
So if you were going out, Kevin, how far from shore, how many miles out, what depth of water, and what type of a rig if you could?
Well, I guess the beauty about going out of Eureka is that they dredge the harbor, which there's, I have a Navionics chip on my GPS, which basically shows the dump site, which is out, oh, I would say it stretches from 180 feet to 220 feet of water, basically due west of the jetty, the north and south jetty out of Eureka. And it seems like, you know, it's pretty good sandy bottom. Seems like it's kind of a little bit of a seamount out there that the Pacific seemed to sit on, and seems it had been pretty productive in the past. And if a guy wanted to go out and catch Pacifics, you know, basically paramount would be using some type of braided line so you don't have any stretch in the line, because typically you're using 1 pound weight all the way up to 3 pounds of weight, depending on the drift. And then having a spreader bar, you know, with the dropper weight coming off of the spreader bar, and then leader line doesn't matter. Normally we use pretty stiff line, you know, 200 pound or 300 pounds, so that it's stiff, and when you're letting your gear down, it doesn't seem to tangle on the fall. But we use a 16-aught circle hook, and then we typically run two glow-in-the-dark hoochies just for a little bit of color down there, and a strip of salmon belly and a large herring, either a black label or a purple label herring, and that seemed to be pretty successful for us.
Sounds like the Alaska rig to me.
Yeah, no, it really is. And that's, okay. You know, when you turned me onto that place where I worked up out of Alaska, and we pretty much applied those techniques down here.
Yeah, well, right on. And that's only a few miles from shore. Is that like 3 or 4 miles out, Kevin?
Yeah, I would say it's about 4 miles out.
Yeah, that sounds easy.
Yeah.
You know what, Kevin, this is Alan, and what I love, Mike asked you that question, and you just gave the complete detailed description of exactly what to use. I mean, God, what a rig. It sounds kind of like a Frankenstein monster rig to me, a little California boy.
Yeah, no, it's true. It you know, and it's amazing. I mean, a lot of times, a lot of the guys that were really successful last year went out, and gosh, the hodgepodge of baits that they put on their rig, it seemed to work. I mean, a lot of times I've heard of people, you know, playing hake that they had caught on their rigs and this and that and putting it on. So it didn't seem like it was a matter that they were extremely specific over what type of bait that they were on. It was just a matter of being where they were at.
Got it. Hey, Kevin, thanks a lot. I'm kind of running out of time. I really appreciate the report. In the meantime, I believe probably river salmon. Some of the springers are going to be showing up here if they aren't already there. Ocean salmon fishing. I think you're running some charter operations out of Mad River Outfitters now. Is that right?
Yeah, definitely. We are.
Okay. Well, check in with the guys there. Give us some contact information, and we hope to check in with you again next week. Thanks for the report, Kevin.
Okay. If you wanted to get a hold of us, the area code 707-826-7201, Mad River Outfitters.
All right, we've got them on our site at the letsgofishingradioshow.com, and you can always call Alan myself here for more information. Hey, thanks a lot, Kevin. Good luck fishing there. Say hi to Harrison.
Okay, thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
And what we wanted to do before the break is check in with our old pal. We haven't checked in with for a while, I think since last season. And that's Chuck Smith from River Run Guide Service, Chico, California. I've been hearing all about these striped bass in the Feather River, and we thought, let's give them a call and find out what's really going on. Chuck, how you doing?
Good, Mike. How about yourself?
Doing real good. Just curious what you've been up to. I'm hearing rumors of spring salmon in the Feather. Shad are starting to show up. Striped bass, what's happening?
Well, we've got a few shad, not much yet. The water is pretty cold, and they fluctuate the water level quite a bit, and kind of hinders everything. But down below, right around Yuba City, Calusa area, up towards Butte City, they're spasmodic on the striper. They get some nice ones, and it's a real good bite one day, and the next day they raise the water or change the temperature one way or the other.
Okay, so one day hot, one day not?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
And the salmon on the Feather, beautiful fish, springers.
Oh, good.
And not too many fishermen. Not too much boat traffic at all.
Oh, good.
Sacramento River, there's no boat traffic.
Well, that sounds like good news. I know we've had a lot of big, fat salmon here in the early season in Monterey Bay. Big, nice fish, 16, 20-pounders, plump, and they look like springers to me, the Feather River spring run fish, so I figured it'd probably be a decent season there, and it sounded like the numbers are already starting up. And that's considering such a large amount of flow. I know a lot of times too much water really makes it hard to find the fish, but sounds like it's pretty good. Where have you been fishing lately?
We've been fishing the Feather and also out of Finch Bridge up here in Chico.
Okay. Even on the main sack?
Yes.
And is that where you're catching the stripers?
No, we're catching a few stripers there, a few, but more so down south.
Okay.
the salmon are coming in. They're coming in on the sack pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You see a flood of them go under the boat now and then.
Oh, wow. And what about the stripers? Are you drifting minnows, chunk bait, or I've even heard that the rebels, broken back rebels, are working good, just slow trolling those.
Yeah, and casting worms, chubs, the rubber worms.
Okay.
Casting those to shore in the evening and sometimes even during the day, but mostly rebels with a trailer, with a worm trailer, and a lot of bait fishermen, sardines and anchovies. So it's just about your choice if you want to anchor or if you want to move along the shoreline.
All right. Doesn't even sound like you have to spend the money on live minnows right now. They're just taking dead bait and flayed bait, anything almost.
Yeah, anything okay. That you lay down there for them.
All right, great. Well, what are your plans? And are you taking bookings for the upcoming season? And what's the contact information for you?
Yeah, Chuck? we're taking bookings now, and the phone number is 530-343-5350.
All right.
I can just call that number and get all the information. How good is it? How good? How bad is it? Whatever.
Okay.
I'll tell them the truth so they don't come from the city for nothing.
All right. You've always been known for the honest reports. We appreciate it, Chuck. It's good to check back in with you.
Yeah, same to hear, Mike. Nice to hear your voice.
You too. You have a good weekend. Stay out of the sun and catch a bunch of fish.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
And when we get back, we're going up north. We're going to go to Sitka, Alaska, at least in our minds, and we're going to hear big fish stories, and we're going to check in with hopefully Steve Carson, senior tuna himself, who switched caps and turned into senior halibut, and find out how the tournament went. I'm really excited about that. I wish I was up there. So stay tuned. Don't touch the dial. We'll be right back after this break.
Put Lake Nacimiento Resort on your list this year. For a fun-filled family destination that has something for everyone, including six campgrounds.
Ooh, that smells good.
From walk-ins to full RV hookups, visit Lake Nacimiento Resort. If roughing it's not your style, nestle into one of the Lakeview lodges.
Ooh, this place is nice.
And make sure to check the menu at the Lakeshore Cafe. With 165 miles of shoreline, it's easy to find a private spot to fish. The resort marina also has a full line of boat rentals, from fishing skiffs to ski boats for even more family fun. For reservations and information, call 800-323-3839 extension 2 or check the website at www.nacimientoresort.com.
Feeling stressed? Why not get away from it all? Imagine the beauty of nature, the sounds of silence. Go fishing.
Son, isn't this wonderful? No neighbors, no phones, no TV.
Dad, how many kinds of fish are there?
Hundreds, maybe thousands. I don't know exactly.
Thousands? That's a lot of fish.
Well, let's just see if we can catch one or two today.
Fishing with a family can yield memories that will last a lifetime. With the gear available today, fishing is easy. An outdoor world has waders and waterproof boots to keep you dry, tackle boxes, fishing vests, and carrying cases to keep your gear handy, reels, and just the right bait to make a difference. At Outdoor World, you'll find everything you need except for the fish. Outdoor World on 41st Avenue in Capitola, on Front Street in Santa Cruz, and on North Fremont Street in Monterey. See our weekly ad in the Good Times and the Monterey County Weekly. Outdoor World, when it's time to get away.
Some say the best way to fish Monterey Bay is a small charter or six-pack boat. One thing's for sure, you can't go wrong booking a trip with Real Sport Fishing or Captain Jimmy Charter. Jerry Brooks and Jim Rubin run fast, roomy boats with top-notch gear and the latest electronics. Whether halibut, salmon, or albacore is your prey, Captain Jimmy and Real Sport Fishing get you there quick and maximize your catch. For a custom fishing trip, call Captain Jimmy at 831-662-3020 or Real Sport Fishing at 831-465-0639.
ICOM Marine products are simply the best. When your safety at sea depends on communication, trust ICOM radios, handhelds, VHS, and single sidebands. ICOM is the leader of the industry. With a full line of VHF radios equipped with digital selective calling, depend on ICOM. Their products are second to none. Find ICOM radios at Johnson Hicks or any fine dealer near you. Check online at www.icomamerica.com. ICOM, simply the best. Central Valley Marine makes your fun serious. With Grady White boats and Yamaha engines, the customer always comes first at Central Valley Marine. Find perfectly crafted Grady White boats outfitted with four-stroke Yamaha outboards at a business with 30 years of experience. Central Valley Marine. Phone 1-800-974-4286. In Campbell on South Bascom, Central Valley Marine. 800-974-4286.
Let's go fishing. You're tuned into the Let's Go Fishing Show, KSCO 1080, KLMY 1340, and archived thanks to ShipToShoreRadio.com. They archive it there, so if you missed it or you want to hear it again for any crazy reason, it's there. Also, SportFishingReport.com is archiving it right on the front page. We feel proud. I mean, it's Alan, it's like the show is something.
I know. I'm honored. You know, I talked to Chad Woods. We'll be hearing from him later tonight, and I told him that, Mike. I said, you know, I'm honored. We're on your front page. You got one of the best fishing websites in the state, if not the West Coast. And Mike, he said he was honored to have us be part of his presence on the web, you know?
I think we need to hug. We need to hug.
I think so.
My arm hurts from patting myself on the back. But what I really want to do is thank the sponsors. The first break, Dave Dawson from Bailey Properties. He's a realtor there. Give him a call. Knox Roofing, they do a great job, so now's the time. Check that roof out. Don't wait for the rains. Bayside Marine, we heard from Todd Frazier himself. Big thanks to him. Santa Cruz Harbor and Pete Middlecoff at Smith & Barney right there on 41st Avenue. If he can help me financially, he can help anybody. Give him a call. Last break, we had Lake Nassimiano, Outdoor World. It's that time of the year. If you're going camping, Outdoor World's the spot. Real Sport Fishing, Captain Jimmy, as well as on the Becky End, and the Doble, Jerry Brooks, ICOM Radio, Central Valley Marine, home of the Grady Whites and the other good boats and the good fishermen and salespeople right there. Now, Alan, a couple tidbits. I believe Coastside Fishing Club, what is it, Friday? I think they have the big dinner.
Yeah, they're having a big dinner, Mike, which is kind of thanks to all the anglers, fishermen, and sportsmen who contributed to the gigantic effort that saved our salmon season. And the dinner's sold out, but it looks like there's a few tickets that are left. Anybody that's interested in going to that dinner, I believe it's in San Mateo, can talk to Chris Hall, the president, and email him at C-H-A-L-L, C-Hall at, oh, you know what, if you want his email address, go to coastside.com, coastside.
Just go to coastsidefishingclub.com
and get it there. The other giant event is their annual Salmon Derby and Barbecue, and that's June 17th. And you can also get a registration form on the coastsidefishingclub.com there. So two big events from Coastside. Let's support those guys. They're doing great things for the fishermen on this coast.
Fantastic. But let's pretend to head up to Sitka, Alaska. It's that time of the year. I always figure about middle of May up to about the middle of September. That's the time to go to Alaska. If you've never done it, it's definitely, as a fisherman, one of those things you got to do. It's just so gorgeous up there. But the great news is Berkeley had the big event right there at Kingfisher Lodge in Sitka, Alaska. And some of the Santa Cruz boys made us proud, I heard, and we thought we'd check in with Tim Medina and find out what really took place. Tim, how you doing tonight?
Good. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing real good. We heard the first day into it, you were leading the charts, first place the first day. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. I was on the board with a nice halibut. But as far as I was concerned, I thought everybody had done that. But
until you got to the weigh-in scale?
Yeah, our fishing was pretty good. I mean, it wasn't a real hard to do in the right spots, apparently.
And how big was that fish you caught the first day, Tim?
Man, he was like 67 inches, and they go by a rounded off number in a book to tell you how heavy they were. They don't really weigh them because they couldn't handle that kind of a thing with all the people.
Yeah. So did you release that fish, Tim?
No, that fish got boated. He was he was in the 150, 160 class fish.
Nice.
Yeah, it was incredible.
Really good. What did it bite? A big chunk of salmon?
Big chunk of salmon gut.
Okay.
So we took our salmon from the morning that we all got. We all got one salmon on the first morning there.
Mm-hmm.
We took the guts out in on one of his spots, and yeah, we waited, and he told us how it was going to be, and we just waited about an hour and a half, and it started to bite on like 37 inches, which we were all taking pictures of.
Uh-huh.
You know, we were all stoked on that. and he was laughing at us, and then, it didn't take very long, and Rod.
And then the mothership moved in?
Yeah, yeah.
And the rest of the boys, who else was up there from this area, Tim?
I was actually with Mark Millay and Randy Richmond, mm-hmm. and Jim from Felton, and Terry Lakely, and there was another guy, Mike, and there was like three other guys from Santa Cruz, and Cheryl was up there.
Okay.
I met Cheryl up there. I've never met her at Bayside or anything, but she was up there.
Yeah, Cheryl from Alibi Rods and Baja Bev was there, and you guys made us proud. It looks like
they did all real good. We all did really good. It was real similar fishing to what we do here.
Okay,
and they were really the captains that got the Santa Cruz guys were enjoying their time a lot more, I believe.
Because you guys were organized and knew how to fish?
A little bit, yeah. You know, it wasn't like he had to, get us out of a lot of tough jams or explain a lot of stuff to us. He just took us to the spots, told us what to do, and we had fish coming on board.
That's what I thought. That's what I wanted you to call. The Santa Cruz guys made us proud. It looked like Terry Lakely. Did he come in second overall?
Overall, we took second, and he did us proud. Did us proud. He was actually jigging, I believe, for a ling cod. He was gave up on his halibut and was just trying to get his ling cod and hooked like a 160 class, 170 class halibut on a jig, and that's incredible.
I hate when that happens. Now, luckily, he's a nice guy. Otherwise, the long flight home with the second place of a tournament like that could be a little unbearable. But luckily, he's a man of humility, right?
In fact, I'm looking at a picture, and we went second, third, fourth, fifth, seventh, ninth, and 11th.
All right. Now, I know this isn't American Idol, but you guys probably won some goodies. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. They had a lot of neat prizes there, and they treated everybody really good at the Kingfisher Lodge. And then Steve Carson, they did a really good job of providing a lot of nice prizes.
And two, there's a lot of emphasis with catch and release. With if you had really large halibut or excessive amounts, or the ling cod, I know there's a slot limit. So it's about catching fish and bringing some of that delicious food home. But a lot of it too is about being a sportsman.
Yeah, they really do. They really try to encourage you to do the right thing. And up there, it was really easy to let go of the big ones. Because you wanted to breed the ones that you were catching up until that point, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And the ling cod, in fact, I don't believe I kept a ling cod. Our biggest one on our boat, I think it was 56 inches or something like that.
So yeah, and they're going like a pound an inch almost. You're looking at a over 50-pound ling cod, which ling cod look much larger than they are heavy. You know, there's so much head to them. That is just, that fish has to look like it's 70 pounds. It's amazing.
True.
And then how about salmon? I know it's a little bit early for the big fish that you think of when you think about Alaska, but Sitka's a place of abundance for kings. The rod hours per king's not bad. How'd you guys do on the salmon?
The salmon fishing was relatively pretty easy. It was really fun. Considering with all the commercial guys going around and doing their thing, we were not very far away, and we were all fishing in the same area, so to speak. There was a couple guys that took off for some secret holes, but there was just pretty standard size salmon. I was expecting a little bigger grade, being my first time up there, but I was looking at my card, and I boated a 20-pounder. On the second day, so
a little more of a quantity rather than quality theme.
Absolutely, and then with the tournament being on a time thing, after the first day, you figured out what really needed to be done. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I came one short of a limit on salmon, only because we fished until we got the four fish.
Okay,
and left.
So it's not just go up there and necessarily fish your brains out for salmon and halibut, but you're trying to compete and you're trying to get a salmon, a halibut, a golden eye, and a ling cod.
You need a lot of time to sit and wait for the halibut.
Well, did you have a good time? Did the guys have fun?
Absolutely. We all had a blast. The lodge is pretty awesome. The food was awesome. The people were all great. I walked into a tournament where I think it's 3 or 4 years now of returning people.
Yeah, if not six, I think it's their sixth annual.
So there was a lot of buddies up there, and they were all really cool. The deckhands, the boat captains, all the boats were really in good shape.
Nice.
It was really good.
It's fun, too, maybe to go a day or two. It's always fun to get there a day early or stay a day late. There's a lot of history up there. There's a lot of neat shops and the different culture. I mean, Alaska, really, there's so much history and culture that it's always good to go an extra day or two.
Oh, absolutely. I think it would be a well-spent day.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Well, thank you, Tim. I appreciate it.
No problem, Mike. Anytime, you guys.
Yeah, big high five to you and the Santa Cruz boys.
Yeah,
and,
we're all stoked.
Call us when you catch some fish here locally, too. Don't be shy.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to go salmon fishing.
Okay, thanks, Tim.
Okay, bye, guys.
Have a good night. And what do you think, Alan? I mean, I believe every word Tim says to me all the time, and it's right here. In fact, I read some of the charts on how these guys did, but let's check in with Senior Tuna, as we're now calling him, Senior Halibut, and find out how it went. How's it going, Steve?
It's going good, Mike. Yeah, you know, it's funny. I spotted Tim as we're waiting to be picked up by the hotel shuttle over at the Subway sandwich shop. He's wearing his Royal Star jacket, and I thought, you know what, this guy's going to be a contender.
Yeah.
Soon as I saw him.
Yeah, so you can tell when they're wearing the jacket. I'm surprised you guys hadn't met maybe before albacore fishing here locally, but
we had. It's just, you know, my mind isn't what it once was, and
yeah.
You know, I meet a lot of people, and I knew he looked familiar, but you know, you just when you're that far from home, you can never be sure.
Yeah, well, it sounds like it was successful. Tell us about the event, Steve.
Well, it went great, and first of all, let me clarify, since Tim didn't have the exact weights, I just happened to have the score sheet right here, and Tim did catch a 148-pound halibut. That's how big that day one fish of his was.
Okay.
And Terry Lakely's day two fish that he caught on the jig was 155 pounds. Tim also had a 52-pound lingcod that, yep, he had to let go. And it's funny, you know, you think you're not going to want to do it, but when you're catching a lot of lings and you realize what you're doing for the fishery, and, of course, you know how easy lings are to release, It's really not a problem. Now, did you get that picture, that big ling I emailed to you?
Oh yeah.
Did that kind of make you jump back a little bit? It looked like that dinosaur.
That's why I said it. They really look much heavier than they weigh. I mean, it's not fair. There's so much gill to them and mouth and teeth that, a 50 pounder looks 70, and it's not something you want to wake up in the morning and see.
Well, now you know. Although the Santa Cruz guys definitely, in particular, because they were up there for the first time, they really distinguished themselves, but. Good old Jim Ledgerwood from Chico had the ultimate lingcod. Of course, he had to release it, and per the chart, of course, we can't get official IGFA weights on him, but per the chart, his fish equaled the current listed IGFA world record, 76 pounds.
Wow.
He said it looked like a sea monster coming to the surface.
All right, so he represented Chico quite well there with that one.
That's right.
What were some of the top prizes? Now, I believe that the event was mainly sponsored by Berkeley this year.
It was sponsored by Berkeley. Of course, the top prize is always the thing every fisherman wants most, a return trip for next year.
Yep.
And so that's the top prize. But, you know, the top contenders in both the overall and in the species categories all got Abu Garcia reels. The top overall contenders also got Fenwick rods. We had Costa Del Mar sunglasses, Magellan GPSs, and, you know, of course, lots of lures and other small fun stuff. And most important, and yet the prize is almost is too much of a distraction. The fishing, as Tim really mentioned, is just phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. It's still fishing. You can certainly hit weather. You can certainly hit one or more species of fish that don't want to bite on any given day. But compared to just about anywhere else in the world you can go, it's just off the hook.
All right. And where are you heading to now? I got to get into checking with Chad Woods from Sport Fishing Report.
I'm packing up to go to Baja's East Cape Hotel Buena Vista Beach Resort. Also, there's a little bit of space left on my four-day Pan Fishing University trip on board the Searcher from Fisherman's Landing, leaving on the 4th of July. And, you know, both the Albies and the Bluefin are looking like they're just going to bust loose any second here.
All right. Where can someone get contact for you? That sounds like a great trip. Four-day on the Searcher. They always catch tons of fish, a lot of on-hand teaching. If you've never done a multi-day trip down south, this is a great chance. Should they go to Fisherman's Landing site? Where should they go?
They can just Google for Searcher. They can go to the Fisherman's Landing site, call them, or they can email me at scarson@sunset.net.
Okay, Steve, thank you very much. Give us a call back when you get back from Baja.
Will do.
All right, take care. Have a good night. And let's keep rolling here. We've got Chad Woods from Sport Fishing Report giving us a call. I'm curious what he's been up to. How you doing, Chad?
I'm doing excellent. How are you doing tonight?
Doing real good. What's going on in the southern salt water?
Well, the white sea bass bite out at Santa Rosa Island has finally tapered off. But it has to do with the squid. The squid's been tough to make. There's still signs of fish, but you know how it is. You got to have the right bait to catch those fish.
Mm-hmm.
So we're hoping that picks up here. The real thing that developed today is out in Los Angeles County, out there at Catalina Island, horseshoe kelp also, we had really good calico bass fishing. It's been the first day of the season that we've seen good numbers of calico bass. So that's something to get excited. Time to get your light stick all ready, put in some new line, and go out there and catch some nice calicos. The bonita have also been biting out there at the local islands. I know some of the guys fishing in the northern Channel Islands out there at Anacapa and Santa Cruz have been picking up some bonita up to the 10-pound class. So there's pretty good fishing on that. Good friend of mine was out doing some halibut fishing out at Catalina Island, and apparently there's a pretty good bite on the halibut for the private boaters.
Okay.
Not enough for the sport boat guys, but there is some halibut going on there. Down in San Diego, we've had, we've talked about tuna, we've talked about albacore and bluefin, and just over the week, we haven't seen good numbers on those. We've seen a little trickle of the tuna, but the yellowtail fishing has been absolutely phenomenal. Most of the boats that are out there fishing the offshore the offshore scene have been getting decent scores on the yellowtail, 3 to 4 fish around, so they're getting limits or close to limits for most of the people. And there are some of the bigger models out there. I know earlier in the season the fish were a little smaller, but there are, some of the fish are 20-25 pounds. So the offshore scene is heating up, and all the boat work is done down there. I have a feeling we're going to see the albacore numbers jump here real soon.
It's getting to be that time of the year. Every time I was going to go ask you a question, you were heading right where I wanted to go, so I just figured he's on a roll. In fact, he did real well. Little job in security there, Chad. But if you want more information, go to his site, sportfishingreport.com. Charters, groups, trips he has going out, everything is there. Appreciate it. Great site. You have a good weekend, Chad.
Yeah, and I'll talk to you guys next week.
Okay, again, Chad Woods, sportfishingreport.com. Don't touch the dial. We'll be back with more fishing information right after the break.
Serious sport fishermen rely on Raymarine's high-definition digital fish finders to increase their chances of seeing and catching more fish. And so should you. Johnson Hicks offers the new Raymarine A-Series fish finders with patented award-winning HD technology. The digital fish finders deliver the sharpest underwater imagery available anywhere, not to mention true hands-off operation and no-compromise performance. Choose from a 4, 5, or 6-inch display. The new C-Series also offers HD technology. Simply add Raymarine's black box sounder. Choose from a 4, 7, or 12-inch display. Find Raymarine online at www.raymarine.com or call Johnson Hicks at 831-475-3383 for more information. That's 831-475-3383.
Let me introduce Live Oak Cafe, a wonderful cafe that specializes in espresso drinks, coffee and tea, as well as their cold beverages and juices. Besides the delicious breakfast burritos and pastries, you have to try the lunch special, like the lasagna or the enchilada casserole. People rave over it. At Live Oak Cafe, the cakes, cookies and pastries are scrumptious. The care that goes into the food at Live Oak Cafe is what keeps people coming back. In a traffic-free location on the ocean side of Highway 1, Live Oak Cafe is at the corner of Chanticleer and Soquel Avenue. Come by or call the Live Oak Cafe at 475-7757 for lunch orders, or take out. Call 475-7757. Stop by today and say hi to Kathleen and her friendly staff at the Live Oak Cafe.
The
The Stagnaro family has been serving the Santa Cruz area for over a century. There's something for everyone: fishing trips, bay cruises, whale watching, and private parties for any occasion. Whichever your choice, today's fourth generation Stagnaros will surely make your trip fun and memorable. And be sure to dine at Gilda's Stagnaro Family Restaurant before or after your ocean adventure. The restaurant is located right across the street from our ticket office on the Santa Cruz Wharf. Call Stagnaros at 427-2334 for a trip on the bay. Interphase Technologies, a local company with a worldwide market supplying boaters with forward-looking technology. Color Twin Scopes and iScan 180s have phased array technology and give you the opportunity to see a fish or bottom structure around your boat. Horizontal and vertical scanning technology gives you the opportunity to target the fish you want to catch before you've already passed over them. Interphase also provides boaters the finest chart plotters made with bright screens, fast processors, and easy-to-use functions. Interphase's forward-looking technology can be found at Johnson Hicks or online at www.interphase-tech.com. Look forward. Find Interphase.
Want to go saltwater fishing but don't have a boat? No problem. Drop on down to Capitola Boat and Bait on the Capitola Wharf or Santa Cruz Boat Rentals at the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf, where fishing is serious fun. You'll find great pier fishing with full-service tackle shops, 30 ocean skiffs for rent, fresh and frozen baits, and up-to-the-minute fishing advice and inside tips. For more info, call Capitola Boat and Bait at 462-2208 or Santa Cruz Boat Rentals, 423-1739.
Boat and Motor Mart, serving boaters since 1955. For over 51 years, the customer has always come first at Boat and Motor Mart, California's exclusive dealer for Osprey boats, hosting a full array of Yamaha outboards. Quiet, smooth, fuel efficient, and powerful. That's Yamaha outboards. Boat and Motor Mart is home to a new line. That's Parker Boats. Parker Boats have brought value and customer satisfaction to new levels. Check out Boat and Motor Mart's new location in South San Francisco at Oyster Point Marina. By land or sea, it's easy to find. 671 Marina Boulevard or call 650-246-1460. That's Boat and Motor Mart, 650-246-1460. Or online at www.boatandmotormart.com.
Let's go fishing show, KSCO 1080. It's not over yet. As far as the weather goes, we got a low pressure centered off Northern California. A little chance of rain up there, believe it or not. Friday and Saturday, it'll clear up. The high pressure will build. And yes, the northwest wind will come with it. Here in Santa Cruz and Monterey Bay Central Coast area, a little bit of the opposite, kind of a high pressure right now. 10 to 20, 25 knots of wind in the afternoon coming out of the northwest. And it will weaken as a low starts to move over the Central Coast Sunday and Monday. In general, the typical spring-like winds get out there for salmon early, then move inshore, maybe try for halibut. San Francisco Bay, yeah, kicked out. The outer waters kicked out a few salmon inside the bay. Sturgeon, San Pablo Bay, the usual things. Stripers, a few halibut, Berkeley Flats, that kind of thing. And a big shout-out to Agent Moon and the gang there at Clouds. Chloe, the hairdresser, you guys, thanks for calling and listening, tuning in. And the rest of you, as I normally say, have safe and be fun while you go fishing this weekend. Have a real good weekend. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Go Fishing Show. Alan Bushnell and Mike Baxter will be back with more infallible fishing logic for you next week. Thanks for tuning in. Enjoy yourself.
Up to the minute news and the best in talk, AM 1080, KSCO Santa Cruz, and AM 1340, KOMY Watsonville.
Fox News Radio, I'm Jane Metzler. Mistakes were made. The acknowledgement tonight during a joint news conference on Iraq by President Bush and British Prime Minister Tony Blair.
Both men vow to keep their troops in Iraq until that government takes full control. To fail, says the president, would mean another fight in another place.
What you're seeing in Iraq, it could happen all over the world if we don't stand fast.
As for mistakes, Blair admits they all underestimated the post-war struggle.
We're always going to have to be prepared for the fall of Saddam. not to be the rise of democratic Iraq, that it was going to be a more difficult process.
And President Bush says we're still paying for the abuses that took place at Abu Ghraib prison. In Washington, Rich Johnson, Fox News Radio.
The president also stepping into that fight between the FBI and Congress.
Sealed for 45 days. That's what the president's ordering for documents seized from House Democrat William Jefferson's office as part of a bribery probe. Leaders from both parties are allies on this issue, claiming the Department of Justice trampled the constitutional rights of Congress with that raid.
That's Fox News Radio's Chris Barnes. Some hard work ahead for the House and Senate working out the differences on their immigration reform bills. The Senate voting 62-36 to approve a bill that would give millions of illegals a chance to be citizens.
Let them rise. Let them rise. We will be better for it.
Arizona Republican Senator John McCain, opponent, saying the Senate bill smacks of the immigration amnesty of the 1980s.
I think we are in danger of making the same mistake.
Texas Republican Kay Bailey Hutchison, the House immigration reform bill making illegal immigration a felony. The House today approving an ANWR bill allowing oil drilling in the Alaskan wilderness. That idea a tougher sell in the Senate. And you're listening to Fox News Radio. Fair and balanced.
Hey, guess what?
What?
I just broke my arm.
Did it hurt?
It felt great.
Felt great?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you don't even have a cast on. You didn't break your arm.
Sure I did. I called Quicken Loans and broke out of my adjustable rate mortgage.
Oh, that arm.
Exactly. My adjustable rate mortgage payment was scheduled to go up by hundreds of dollars.
Hundreds? That could really break you.
Yeah, it could. So I called Quicken Loans. They took a quick x-ray of my financial situation and refinanced my arm to keep my payment low.
Low mortgage payments, just what the doctor ordered. If you have an adjustable rate mortgage or arm, call Quicken Loans now to break your arm before your arm breaks you. Interest rates are going up, and so is your payment. Avoid payment shock and call Quicken Loans now at 800-743-2911. With over 150 loan programs, it's easy to find your best option starting around 5.5%. Call 800-743-2911. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. APR 6.542%. Call 800-743-2911.
Captured, America's most wanted couple, Richard Davis and Dina Riley, wanted for the rape and murder of a woman in Independence, Missouri.
Ms. Riley and Mr. Davis are now in custody. They were taken into custody in Barton County, Missouri, just a few hours ago. Obviously, I think that is a great relief for us in law enforcement, I think for everyone in this community.
Jackson County Prosecutor Mike Sanders, the attack on 41-year-old Martha Spicer was videotaped, her body found earlier this month near Kansas City. Guilty verdicts in Houston for Enron founder Ken Lay and the company's former chief executive Jeffrey Skilling, both convicted of fraud and conspiracy. Here's what all those charges mean in English. That Skilling unloaded stock because he saw the writing on the wall, that both men lied to Wall Street to get good grades, lied to the government to get good profits, and lied to thousands who invested billions that vanished when Enron did, all to keep the stock price up and keep Enron on crutches until the next quarter and the next when things would surely improve, but they didn't. The men have homes, but little else. The government seized their assets. Both are free until sentencing this fall, and then both could die in prison. In Houston, Holly Hickman, Fox News Radio. Right or wrong, they're raising speed limits in the Lone Star State.
Here comes the racer.
80 miles an hour. That's how fast you can go legally on two stretches of rural highway in Texas. The state's transportation officials boosting the limits from 75 to 80 miles an hour through 10 counties in West Texas, including the 432-mile stretch of Interstate 10 starting in El Paso and 89 miles of Interstate 20. State officials say these roads can accommodate the higher speeds. Allison Slater, Fox News Radio. First public appearance for Michael Jackson since his acquittal last June on child molestation charges. Jackson to accept a Legend Award from MTV Japan in Tokyo. I'm Jay Metzler, Fox News Radio.
You're listening to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz and AM 1340 KOMY Watsonville. You can catch us on the web at KSCO.com. It's now 5 minutes past 8 p.m. I'm Chris Spencer.
With your weather update for tonight, partly cloudy this evening with more clouds overnight, low of 49 with winds out of the northwest at 10 to 20 miles per hour. And for tomorrow, variable cloudiness and windy, high of 62 with winds out of the northwest at 20 to 30 miles per hour. And on your Monterey Bay boaters forecast, west winds 15 to 20 knots, decreasing to 5 to 10 knots. Later this evening, wind waves 2 to 4 feet, west swell 3 to 6 feet at 10 seconds. Areas of fog developing later this evening out on the bay. Currently 58 degrees here at KSCO. Now stay tuned for Fox Live with Alan Combs on KOMY and Savage Nation here on KSCO.
These people have gone out and voted. A higher turnout, I have to say, I'm afraid to say, I think, than either your election or mine. These people have gone out and voted.
Depends on which one, 2000 or 2004.
Very funny. People aren't voting here, Mr. Bush.
They have gone out and voted despite...
What are you laughing about?
...bloodshed despite, literally, the prospect of death for exercising their democratic rights. So, they have kept faith with the very democratic values that we say we believe in, and the people trying to wrest that democracy from them are opposed to absolutely everything they stand for and everything the Iraqi people stand for.
Wait a minute, here's an article. Cut away from him. Extra long life may not be psychologically desirable. I can see why you listen to these press conferences. This is the Savage Nation on your local affiliate, and you're listening to the two Tonys. And I guess I'm listening.
Every tragic loss of our own forces, we see that as a setback and as a failure, when we should be seeing that as a renewed urgency for us to rise to the challenge of defeating these people who are committing this carnage.
Who are these people, sir? Paint the picture with some propaganda. Call them the ugly creatures that they are. Tell us what their religion is. Tell us how they hijacked this religion. Tell us that they're conducting a jihad, which they've been doing for 1,000 or more years, sir. And maybe we can understand a word you're saying.
Precisely because they fear Iraqi people do want democracy. Iraqi people do want liberty.
We and don't give a rat's behind for the Iraqi people. Don't you understand we have our own troubles? That's how we think?
People in the Arab and Muslim world, that democracy was as much their right as our right. Where do these terrorists go? What do they do? How do they recruit? How do they say America is the evil Satan? How do they say the purpose of the West is to despoil your lands, wreck your religion, take your wealth? How can they say that? They can't say that. So these people who are fighting us there know what is at stake. The question is...
Who are these people? Name them. Who are the enemies?
I'm going to say that was a great answer.
I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed.
Chance now.
Another chance. Good. Well, thank you, Martha.
Mr. President, you've said time and time again and again tonight, when Iraqi forces stand up, coalition forces can start standing down.
Right.
But the fact is you have been standing up Iraqi forces in great numbers. The administration says you have hundreds of thousands trained and equipped, tens of thousands leading the fight, and yet during the same period they've been standing up, there has not been a substantial decrease in U.S. and coalition forces. So what does that tell us about how meaningful the figures are on Iraqi troops, and what does that tell us about a potential for drawdown?
Thank God for women.
Iran are going to make the decision, that's what that tells you. And when they feel comfortable in recommending to me fewer troops, I will accept that. But they're going to make that recommendation based upon the conditions on the ground. I know I keep saying that, and it probably bores you that I keep giving the same answer, but I haven't changed my opinion.
When they milk us for as much money as they can take out of the Treasury for no-bid contracts, then they'll say that it's the conditions on the ground that finally changed.
It's hard to have a command and control system with an Iraqi army when you don't have a defense minister. And so... Mr. Maliki's going to have to pick one soon. And then our commanders will gauge as to whether or not the command and control structure is sufficient to be able to enable the Iraqis to take more of the fight. They are taking more of the fight, by the way. They're in more provinces than ever before. They're taking over more territory. They're taking over more missions. There are some gaps that we need to continue to work on to fill. Transportation, the transportation issue is going to need to be dealt with over time. All I can report to you is what General Casey, in whom I have got a lot of confidence, tells me, and that is the Iraqis are becoming better and better fighters. And at some point in time, when he feels like the government is ready to take on more responsibility and the Iraqi forces are able to help them do so, he will get on the telephone with me and say, Mr. President, I think we can do this with fewer troops. We've been up to 165,000 at one point. We're about
100,000. Ladies and gentlemen, there's really nothing new here. We've heard all of this before. I really don't know why they're conducting this exercise other than for the press itself, because the average person listening to this is not really, I don't think, having their mind changed about anything. Or do you disagree with me? Call the show, because the minute this breaks, we're going to talk about it. Do you think has this somehow inspired you? What has it done for you listening to this? Or is this speech a complete waste of time, this so-called press conference? It's actually quite strange. Let's go back to Alfred.
I've set the objective. It's clear for everybody. A country that can sustain itself, defend itself, and govern itself. And we're making progress on all fronts. But as to how many troops we have there will depend upon the generals and their commanders saying, this is what we need to do the job, Mr. President. And that's the way it's going to be so long as I'm standing here as the commander-in-chief, which is 2.5 more years.
I spoke to General Casey and to our own General Fry in Baghdad on Monday. We sat down and talked this very issue through. And I think what you will find is that progressively there will be more and more parts of Iraq that are policed by the Iraqi security forces themselves, and their capability is improving. But I also think you will find probably over the next few months there will be a real attempt by the anti-democratic forces to test them very, very strongly. I remember a lot of the attacks that are now happening not on the multinational force, although those attacks continue, of course, but actually on the Iraqi forces themselves, on their police, on their army, and so on. And the purpose, of course, of that is to deter them from the very build-up of capability that we want to see. But over the course of the next few months, you will see progressively those provinces in Iraq coming under Iraqi control, and then, of course, it will be for the Iraqis to sort out that responsibility.
Wait, one thing, Martha, is that we want to make sure we complete the mission, that we achieve our objective. A loss in Iraq would make this world an incredibly dangerous place.
Okay, why?
But, remember, there's not only sectarian violence, a kind of hangover from Saddam's era, but there is an al-Qaeda presence in the form of Zarqawi, who wants to sow as much havoc as possible.
And why can't you find him and kill him?
It's complete.
Because you're fighting a PC war. You could devastate him with air power. If you'd only do what former leaders did, which is go after him, tooth and claw, get it over with and get out, the American people would support you, Mr. Bush.
Sacrifices here in America. I'll be going to a Memorial Day ceremony next Monday, paying tribute to those who've lost their lives. I'm sure I will see families of the fallen. I fully understand the pressures being placed upon our military and their families. But I also understand that it is vital that we do the job, that we complete the mission. And it has been tough, been really tough, because we're fighting an unconventional enemy that is willing to kill innocent people. There are no rules of war for these people. But make no mistake about it, what you're seeing in Iraq could happen all over the world if we don't stand fast and achieve the objective. No, I had the follow-up answer. You can't have a follow-up question. Nice try, though. Yeah.
Prime Minister, this is possibly your last official visit to Washington as Prime Minister.
Wait a minute. Back-to-back dishes.
At least the beginning of the end of your particular special relationship. Will you miss the President? What will you miss about him? And for the President, what will you miss about Tony Blair? And what are you looking for in an eventual replacement?
I'll miss those red ties is what I'll miss. I'll say one thing. He answered the question. Don't count him out. Let me tell you, do that way.
Country's in mortal danger of collapse from the illegals running over our schools, our hospitals, our language, our borders, and they're sitting and talking about red ties. Commander-in-chief. If we had Bush instead of Washington, you'd have wooden teeth.
You guys, come on. I want you to see it.
Can you imagine Bush leading the American Revolutionary troops across the Delaware River on an icy night? Can you imagine Blair leading the British troops against Washington's troops on an icy night? What do you mean, Commander-in-Chief? It's a joke.
You talk about setting the objective. But our people, my colleagues on the ground in Iraq, say that when
colleagues,
they talk to American troops, the rank and file...
Bill Plant, CBS News, Red Diaper Doper Baby.
They say further that whilst the Iraqi army may be improving, there's absolutely no way to depend upon the police, who they say are corrupt and aligned with militias. All of this going on, what reason is there to believe that the new government can do any better with these people than we've been able to do so far?
There's
good question, actually.
Bill, one is the political track. I think it's very important for the Iraqi people to have a government that has been elected under a constitution they approved.
It's not answering his question.
The political track has been...
Having a dumb face, a dumb smile, and no answer?
Having a country that can govern itself and defend itself.
Let's cut him off for a minute. Max on KNEW, go ahead, make a comment. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's like listening to schoolyard talk. These guys, in my opinion, they don't even understand what leadership means. If you were a leader, you would get out there in front. You would be out in the battlefield, or you would be on the in front of the social issues. These guys are talking about, yeah, I listen to my generals. My generals say this. My generals say that. It's like, that's not leadership, my friend. I say it's time to call 1-800-GET-TEMPS, outsource the government, because, you know, at least if you get the...
Yeah, I don't think the guys in Bangalore could do a worse job than these two. Thanks for the call. Go ahead, go back.
Perhaps the place where there needs to be the most effective police force is in Baghdad. I just told you we're moving more troops in.
Off for a minute. We'll take a call here and there. Sacramento, California on KSTE. Michael, go ahead. Your comment on this so-called press conference.
The president was speaking. In Sacramento, President Fox is speaking at the same time President Bush is speaking.
You're kidding me. So you think that Bush called this in order to block Fox's speech?
I don't know how many people are watching President Fox and how many people are watching Bush. Bush is saying nothing, and President Fox is probably trying to give us a bunch of bull.
Well, Fox is talking about invading America. I heard him earlier. He said that he's come up with a new orderly method for immigration. He's telling us and dictating to us what we should be doing in our own country while this clown is sitting here joking about red ties. Allentown, Pamela, your opinion. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
This is a joke. I cried today because our beautiful, brave soldiers are losing their lives, and this guy's sitting here laughing. It's insulting, and they're going to come home sold out to what? Mexico? He's a joke.
Man. Pamela, you hit the nail on the head. Yeah, that's the scream from the heart. A copy of the Political Zoo goes out to you. Let's go back to the press charade. Go ahead, back to it.
Playing their part. Now, I think the whole question is whether this new government can then...
Cut away a minute. Do you realize how this is true democracy at work, where the people are actually talking over them and at them? Do you realize it's the last refuge we have, which is ridicule? Do you get it yet? You have no other outlet. Take a break. Commercials, then we're back. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon. Your boss tells you he needs that report first thing Monday morning. That means you'll be stuck in the office all weekend. Here's just the remedy you need. Go to My PC. It lets you access your office PC from home or anywhere, so you're not chained to your office desk. With Go to My PC, you can finish your report over the weekend without ever going to the office. Visit GoToMyPC.com, click on the radio microphone, and you got to type in Savage. It lets you access all your programs, files, network resources, and emails. It's just like you're sitting in front of your office computer. Try GoToMyPC free today with a special offer just for my Savage listeners. You can get 30 days of GoToMyPC.com free with unlimited access. That's a full month free. But here's the catch. Only if you visit GoToMyPC.com, click on the radio microphone, and you got to type in Savage. Be sure to click on the radio microphone and use my name, Savage. Try GoToMyPC free today. I know you're going to love the freedom.
Call Michael now at 1-800-449-8255.